In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, we ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It feels so good to be back. I've missed a couple of days, but it was due to a health issue. But you can hear my voice is still a bit groggy, but it is what it is. Another episode, alhamdulillah, of Love Your Life on Oman FM. You heard already my guest. She's already responded to the salam. I have in the studio with me Mathilde Lujain. So lovely to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure. Was really excited to come on the show, really excited to meet you in person as well.
Likewise.
Finally, it's been a long time since we've been in touch, so I'm super excited.
Alhamdulillah. And so Lujain, Mathilde was supposed to be my guest a couple of days ago, so I apologize on air for keeping you waiting, but I really appreciate you changing your plans because Mathilde is based in Dubai.
Right.
And you came specifically, yes, you know, for this interview, so it really means a lot.
Of course.
I think as well because Oman means a lot to you.
It does. I grew up in Oman. Yes. So my parents were expats and I lived here for 10 years. I now live in Dubai, as you said, but Oman always has this really special place in my heart. So I was really excited when you invited me to come on the show. I wanted it to be a physical interview, not online. Mm. So I made a trip out of it. I was supposed to stay for 24 hours and my family came down to join me, and I'm here for a few more days. So subhanAllah, you never know.
You never know. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we rely on Him and we just accept sometimes that things really don't always go according to plan.
Right.
And then things just work out perfectly.
Yes,
subhanAllah. I want to take this moment to remind you all that this is a live show. You're more than welcome to call us on 24602058, 24602058. And as always, I'm giving away a copy of the Noble Quran. But Mathilde, would you like to say what you're yes. giving away?
So yes, I'm also the author of the book, Big Little Steps, which I have here with me. So it's a woman's guide to finding a balanced lifestyle and a glowing heart in Islam. Hence the title of the show today. Yes. And I brought the book here so that we could give away the copy to one of your listeners.
Inshallah. And so in order to win, you just have to call in and participate in the show. And then inshallah, we'll pick a winner. We haven't decided how, but we'll decide in the break and then we will let you know. We will talk about the book later, but I think first I'd really like to get to know you and also my listeners. Mm-hmm. If you can tell us, I know you told us that you lived in Oman for mm-hmm. a long time.
Yes.
But you're originally
French. Yes.
And so you're not a born Muslim.
I'm not a born Muslim. No. In fact, I would say, no one in my family really believes in God. They're either atheist or agnostic. So I really wasn't brought up with the knowledge of God, or that really wasn't part of my education. I think it's one of these stories, and whenever you actually interview a revert on the show, you can see that Allah plants the seeds over time, right? There's not one thing that makes you go overnight, I'm going to embrace Islam. Like, it really takes a couple of years to kind of grow. So like you said, I grew up in France, and I think when I was around the age of 7 or 8 years old, that's when I started to learn about, the universe and galaxies. And I remember at that age feeling really small, and I remember thinking, but who created all this? Mm. And who created me? Who created the universe? And so I turned to my family and the ones around me for answers. And I think one of the answers that resonated with me was God. God created all this. And I was actually going to a private school in France. I think all private schools in France are Catholic.
Yeah.
So that's where I got a lot of my answers. And I was at the time introduced to the three monotheist religions, right? So I thought, well, I'm French, I'm European, so, well, the next step for me is to become Christian, mm-hmm. and Islam is for Arabs.
Oh.
Bear in mind, I was 8 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then I took classes to kind of get more knowledge, and I asked my parents maybe a year later if I could get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the whole family was kind of amused of my choice. I was the only one in the family having this inclination, you know, towards God. But they were very supportive. My parents encouraged me, and they let me kind of go on my own path. And, you know, I just could really feel that God was in my heart, even that young, at that age. So I got baptized, and I felt really, really close to God this whole time. And that's the relationship that I was building, was with God. A couple of months after I got baptized, my older brother passed away. And this was kind of a very tragic event for the family. It happened during the night. He wasn't sick or anything. And obviously, as a now 10-year-old, that's something the whole family had to cope with.
Yeah.
I remember actually at the time there were two nuns that came to me during his funeral, and they said, well, you know, we're here for you if you need us, but we think you should start praying to Mary. And I was thinking, that's really odd. Like, I mean, Mary used to pray to God.
Yes.
I want to pray to God. Like, why pray to Mary?
Yeah.
You know? So that kind of, I just got this sentiment of, no.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked my parents, please, like, I'm not interested. Like, I don't want to stay in touch with these ladies. They're very nice, and they meant well, obviously. Mm. But no, I'm not interested. So imagine at that age how many questions I had now. Because first I had this interest in God and the religion. But now I want to understand, you know, where is my brother? Where do you go when you pass away? And, you know, with the understanding that you have at such a young age, you have this like limited kind of capacity to understand such a big concept, right? So,
and a big change in your life and a loss of somebody who used to be there and now
exactly.
is no longer there.
Yes, exactly. So I think I really turned to religion to grieve, basically. So that was really the beginning of a quest for me. I had a lot of questions. I needed answers. And that was the drive, actually still until now, to be really honest. And my objective in this life became, I need to be reunited with my brother. And sorry, I'm starting to get emotional.
It's okay.
And with my whole family.
Yeah.
So not just me, but also I want my parents there.
Mm-hmm.
So fast track few... actually, a year later, my dad moved to Oman, found a job. Like I said, we were expats. And this was really a new beginning for us as a grieving family to come to Oman, which is such a peaceful country, mashallah. Imagine, this is exactly what we needed, you know, and more. Really, Allah knows us best, honestly. And I went to ABA. I think everyone's familiar with ABA. It's a melting pot of different nationalities.
Yeah.
I had friends from all different backgrounds and different religions. And we would talk a lot about, well, at least I would talk to them about their religion. And I was really curious, where sometimes we didn't really see eye to eye. And I was curious to actually learn more about their perspective.
Mm.
And I was actually kind of surprised that, oh, my, what I learned isn't the only way. Actually, there's a
different
lot of different ways. Beliefs out there, which I had no idea up until this point. So again, bear in mind, I was 11 or 12.
Very young, mashallah.
I was very young,
inquisitive mind.
Yes, yeah. So I think I started to decide I wanted to educate myself a bit more. I wanted to see what's out there. And around that same time, I remember there was a new revised version of the Bible
mm-hmm.
that was released. And I was like, what do you mean a revised version? And I remember talking to my dad and I said, where's the original? That's the one that I want, not the revised. I want the original,
the original word, scripture that was sent.
Authentic.
Yes.
Right?
From God to
yes.
us.
Yes. I'm like, that's what I want, not something that's been changed, you know, over centuries by mankind. I want the authentic word of God. And I think that's really important because that's really drove me through my search for the truth. Yes, exactly. So now there's kind of a plot twist.
I know. See, what Mathilde is sharing here is part of her story, which is also in her book. So I know yes. a little bit about that. So I'm just letting her go through with her story.
So then we find out, my dad tells us, he became Muslim. And his... Yeah.
Here in Oman.
So now we're living in Oman and we just find out, it's been a few years apparently, he became a Muslim. Mm. His name is now Abdul Jabbar.
MashaAllah.
And we were like, what? Where did this happen? How did this happen? Where did this come from? And now when I speak to my dad, he's like, I was going through that when you were getting baptized. Mm. But he said, I had to let you go through your own path. And subhanAllah, and I always think now that I'm a parent, that must be so hard, right?
Imagine, you know, you found something that you know is truth.
Exactly.
And then here you have your child going a total opposite
exactly.
direction.
Yes.
And mashallah, he still didn't interfere. I think I would have interfered.
Yeah. So subhanAllah, so he let me do my own thing. And I realized that's why we moved to a Muslim country. He became Muslim, so he wanted to move to a Muslim country. So I was kind of like, my reaction was like, okay, well, you're Muslim, but I'm a Christian. Kind of like, you do you, I do me.
I do me.
You know? And I was a teenager now by yeah. this point. So you know what it's like, the conflict.
I know it all now.
So, but having said that, I was still interested by that point in finding another branch of Christianity for myself. And I was going to start by reading other Bibles. So maybe like Protestants or Orthodox. And I was going to start getting educated by that. So we all remember September 11th.
Yeah.
And that kind of, well, the whole focus was on Muslims, right? And I remember thinking, obviously, everyone was shocked. And I remember thinking, you know what? I actually don't know Islam that well. And I live in a Muslim country. Mm. And my dad is a Muslim. And now this is happening. And like, I know Omanis are really kind, mashallah. I know Muslim people are the kindest people. So I said, you know what? Since I'm going on this quest of reading different texts,
as well.
I might as well just start by reading the Quran and then I'll read the rest, you know. And subhanAllah, you know, I think, well, obviously looking back, Allah knew my intention, because remember what I told you earlier, I wanted to read the authentic book. I wanted to read the word of Allah that he revealed himself. So he gave me a shortcut.
It's like, you know, just go here.
And he brought me straight to Islam, subhanAllah. And this is the part where I got mind blown, right? So I needed to find specific answers. And remember, I was grieving. And so I was going in through that lens of finding answers for, you know, what happened to my brother and where do you go when you die and all of that. And by reading the Quran, so, I mean, first of all, I asked my dad. I was like, Dad, can I borrow your Quran? And my dad's like, oh, you're going to leave it on the floor. You're going to do I don't know what to it. He's like, look, I'll buy you your own copy, you know, sometime. Like, I guess he didn't really see that I was truly interested this time, you know. So I was like, no, Dad, like, I'm really interested. Please just let me borrow your copy. Mm-hmm. And I promise I'll take care of it. So I came in with the intention of reading it cover to cover, as if I was reading a novel, which I was so wrong, right? Because the Holy Quran is a book that it makes you ponder and it makes you stop and reflect. And so it took me a while, but in the process, I was truly mind blown. I was, you know, I think I found, okay, first of all, I think the way that Allah describes himself, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, you know, I was like, this is my God. This mm-hmm. is the God that I've been building a relationship with since I was 7 years old. This is him, you know? And he's now, I'm hearing his words. It really, even though I wasn't Muslim yet at the time, I felt like these are the words of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
And I'm getting even emotional thinking about it.
It's so beautiful. As you said, Dani, you at a young age, you set this intention. And then what happened in your life, even though you didn't understand it, it was leading you there.
Exactly.
And then to finally find what you're looking for.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and at such a young
age. And more.
SubhanAllah.
And more even, because I really got all the answers I needed while I was grieving. And more. I found truly inner peace. It just calmed my heart. You know, my heart was heavy, was sad. It just gave me this inner peace. There's no other way I can describe it other than those two words. And also at the same time, I remember trying to learn a little bit more about Islam, you know, as a religion. And so I would go to the library at ABA. And I remember asking the librarian, where is the Islamic section? And I got a book which kind of explained Islam, but it was a very thick book. I still have it at home. I'm sorry. I'll return it one day. I will. And so this is where I actually learned that the Holy Quran has remained the same for over like 15 centuries. And I was like, well, that's exactly what I wanted. That's it.
Yeah.
This, like, I don't even need to look anywhere else. Like, my heart is satisfied. My mind is convinced, you know. And I felt so much peace, so much inner peace. And I remember kind of halfway through reading the Quran, and remember this was taking me a while, even though I was reading every day. So I think I started in September, after September 11th, and in March I was halfway through. I just turned 18 years old, and I asked my parents again. I was like, Mom and Dad, here we are again. I was like, I'd like to convert to Islam. I'd like to say my Shahada, my pronunciation of faith. How do you feel about it? Obviously, my dad was happy, and my mom's like, what's next? You know, what's it going to be next? I was like, no, Mom, I swear. I said, I found the truth. Like, this is what I needed, what I was looking for. This is it for me. Like, this is not going to change. I can, you know, I know for sure, for a fact. So, again, I went back to the library at ABA, and I said, look, I'm interested in saying my Shahada. Like, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to do it. I said, could you do it for me? And she was Omani, the librarian, really sweet lady, mashallah. And she's like, no, I'll put you in touch with a sheikh. Mm-hmm. His name is Sheikh Al-Fan Al-Esri.
Mashallah.
Mashallah, Allah yarhamu. And I'll give you his number. Let your parents reach out to him and then take it from there. So we did that. I think my dad called him. He came over to our home. And I remember we all sat at the family table, and bear in mind, you know, I was so excited, by the way.
Okay. Becoming Muslim.
It was like going to Disney World and more for me. Like, I was jumping up and down with joy, with excitement. My parents were like, okay, calm down. I had a cousin visiting from home, from France. She was like, what is happening in this house, you know? But she sat with us and we asked her, are you comfortable? And she was like, yeah, I'm curious, actually, to see what's going to happen. Yeah. So we all sat down at the family table. And I remember, by the way, I'm French, and he spoke fluent French. Mashallah.
He spoke many languages.
I don't know how many, but I know he spoke a lot.
A lot. Even I don't know him, but I know it's at least, I think at least more than 7 or 8,
yes,
if I'm not
mistaken.
Yes,
I think so. I would say the exact same number. Mm. So, subhanAllah. And he had a very kind character and funny. He was really funny, and he knows how to make everyone feel at ease. He knows how to break the tension in the room. And I remember at first he wanted to make sure that I have the right intentions. So I remember he took a piece of paper and he drew a house. He drew the roof, and he said, this is your faith. And then he drew six pillars, the six pillars of faith. And he was like, the first pillar is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, do you believe there's only one God? And I said, yes, I do. And then the second pillar was the angels, so his creation. He's like, you have to believe in the angels. And the third is the prophets. He's like, you have to believe in all the prophets. And again, he said, you believe, you know, Jesus is a prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Put the whole list there to make sure he covered them all. And then he said also all the scriptures, the holy scriptures was the other pillar, the day of resurrection, and fate, finally. So he drew this house, and I still have the drawing at home. Yeah. And yeah, I was aligned. I was like, yes, wholeheartedly, I do believe in that. And so then he's like, well, are you ready? And he made me say my shahada, my pronunciation of faith, in Arabic first. I repeated after him, and then we did in French. That day, I remember like it was yesterday. I was just so much excitement, joy. I can't describe it, but I was in a child in the candy store, you know? And I remember the feeling of, it was as though I found Islam was like finding like a chest of gold, right? Mm. It's like you open it up and there's a treasure inside, and it's so blinding, and it's full of gems and gold and, you know, overwhelming, yeah, overwhelmingly beautiful. And that's kind of the way I kind of tried to explain it. But from that day, I obviously wanted to share this with everyone. I think, well, if you found real gold, you wouldn't want to share that with anyone.
But the beauty of Islam is we are required to share it
exactly.
with everyone.
Exactly. And that's a really good point. Actually, Sheikh Alfan told me, you know, now that you're Muslim, you're an ambassador to Islam.
Yes.
He said, we're actually, all of us have this responsibility of being an ambassador to Islam. And he said, think about how you want to carry that message. He's like, you're actually in a privileged position where a lot of non-Muslims will come to you asking about Islam and asking questions. So he said, think about it. So he was basically telling me about dawah, making dawah, and that just kind of stayed with me. I think that was the end of that destination of looking for Islam, but that was really the beginning of a whole other journey.
MashaAllah, such a beautiful story, and I love that it's a lot of the guests, or many of them that come through, always mention Sheikh Alfan rahmatullah alayh, and it's always a reminder for all of us that we should be like Sheikh Alfan al-Aysari. Mm-hmm. We should learn more languages, because people are like, I'm enough with Arabic. Arabic is a very important language for us Arabs, but let's use other languages to continue, talking about Islam, educating others of this beautiful religion that we have, because we are all, as he said, we all are required to do that.
Yes.
So, mashallah, and the way his character and the way he spoke, for may Allah elevate him, Ya Rab, for all his efforts in the highest level of Jannah, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen.
So, when you've talked about Islam, and your conversion story, which is so beautiful. So your father was Muslim. And so did anyone else convert after that?
So, yes. Yes. So now imagine both my dad and myself are Muslims. And now there's my mom, right? So,
and you don't have any other siblings, just your brother?
Yes.
And
Yeah. So I was the only child by that time. So... So next, I think my mission after that was,
mom,
what to do with my mom now. Obviously, I want her to be with my dad and I, and to become Muslim. I think that's honestly, if you ask me, from a revert's perspective, that's our dream, right? For our loved ones to see what we see and to embrace Islam as well.
I understand. Oh, because as you know, my mom's French, and I've said many times she's not a Muslim. So I totally get where you're coming from.
And I think there's this one ayah, and now we're getting to the heart of your show. I'm sharing my first ayah. So there's one ayah which I think is one that you would be familiar with, and it's I'll read it in English, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So it goes, "Surely you do not guide whomever you love, but Allah guides whomever He decides, and He knows best the ones who are rightly guided." And this is Surat Al-Qasas, the stories, 28:56. And obviously, you know, as a revert, you want other people to convert to Islam because you've been enlightened. You just want to share that joy and inner peace, right? But actually, Allah says, no, I choose, and I'm the one in the right time. And it may not happen, but it may happen. It's not in your hands.
Yeah.
It's in my hands. And I think it's both a beautiful ayah of putting your faith and trust in God.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And at the same time, it's frustrating, right? Because you wish you could, you know, not force people, but you wish you could, you know, get them to see what you're seeing.
And many people always say, oh, you should talk more. You know, and this ayah just proves that.
Exactly.
You can talk until tomorrow.
Yes.
If their heart is not open, who controls the heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does.
Yes.
If Allah doesn't make them see the light, I mean, we have to do our part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for now, for me, if anyone's wondering, like, how do you deal with the situation? The way I deal with it personally, I just become the best Muslim that I can be. Yeah, I treat her that way, and I explain to her, oh, I'm doing this because of this, because Islam requires me to do so, because of this. It's who I am, my character. I try my utmost best for it to be a good example of a Muslim woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides her heart and all hearts who are seeking to find the truth.
I mean, you couldn't have said it better. 100%. And that was also how I resonated. I said, I'll just show her how Islam has changed my heart and my life, and just show it in a good light, and she'll see. And, you know, she would acknowledge that I've become a better person, and that, so yes, subhanAllah, you just.
Just one thing I'd like to add is that ayah, Matil, takes a lot of pressure from us.
Mm-hmm.
Because imagine if it was our job, it's, you know, something we did would reflect on them to become Muslim or not. That would be so difficult to do.
So difficult.
And I don't know how we would be, but subhanAllah, because Allah created us, Allah knows us, He said, that's not up to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's up to me.
SubhanAllah. He knows them best. We don't know them. He knows their hearts and their intentions, and SubhanAllah. And you were so, yes, so my mom, just going back to my mom,
yes.
She, so look, all these years I stayed in touch with Sheikh Alfan, and I think that's something that was really unique about him. It doesn't end at, you know, your Shahada. He stayed in touch with me until, you know, like his last couple of months and days.
And mashallah, again, another thing that resonated, he did that with most of the people that he met.
Incredible.
You're not the first one to say that.
It's incredible. Imagine the amount of effort that requires to stay in touch with everyone and check in. And I remember at some point he even tried to help me go to Umrah. I wasn't married. It didn't work because of visas, but he really tried, you know, the whole way. And so my mom, this whole time, also another way I approached it is I would always talk to my dad. I would read the Quran, for example, I don't know, in the living room, and I would say to my dad, make sure my mom is there
listening,
so she can hear.
Yeah, yeah.
She might look like she's not paying attention, but she has ears, so, you know. And I would say, oh, look at this ayah, or look at this chapter. Wow, it's unbelievable. Just, you know, just talking out loud. And we would talk, and she'd be there, like maybe doing dishes or cooking, whatever. And that was the approach for years and years and years, and you know, over a decade went by, and then my mom, sometimes I would tell her, like, mom, you know, what are you waiting for, like, join us, you know, like. And she would go, you know, I believe in Allah and I believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she's like, I'm not ready. And she's like, look, the only way I'll do it is with Sheikh Alfan.
MashaAllah.
So now they live in France by that time. Sheikh Alfan obviously is in Oman.
Yes.
I know he used to travel a lot. But I'm thinking, oh, how do I make that happen now? Because it's not even a direct flight. Imagine you have to go to Muscat, Dubai, Dubai, Paris, and then Paris, Bordeaux. Like, I was,
it's
like,
a whole,
oh,
trip.
But
I'll stop you right there.
Mm.
This is getting interesting. And it is like,
okay,
I'm leaving people. It's a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
Just wait for the continuation of the story after this break. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Oman FM. This is Maya Al Saeed, your program Love Your Life. In the studio with me today, I have Mathilde Lejeune, the author of Big Little Steps. We've been discussing her conversion to Islam, and it's a beautiful intro. So please listen to it. You can listen to all the episodes of Love Your Life on podcast, any of your major podcasting platforms. We are there. But if you're listening now, this is actually live. So you can join us by calling 24602058, 24602058. And today you could, by calling in, you could win a signed copy by the author herself, Mathilde Lejeune of Big Little Steps, and also a copy of the Noble Quran. So please call us, be part of the show, and inshallah win a copy of the book. So before the break, we were talking about how your mother mm-hmm. had told you, if you want me to become Muslim, then it has to be with Sheikh Affan al-Aysari.
Right.
Yes. So then what happened?
So, I love the cliffhanger there that you created. So what do I do? Sheikh Affan stayed in touch with me, like I said, for a number of years. And so I just tried my luck. I just said, look, I spoke to my mom. She's saying she's ready to embrace Islam. The only condition is that you come to her home in France so that she can say her shahada. And he said, sure.
MashaAllah.
He said, sure, I'm coming. He's like, just tell me when.
And these are the times which we couldn't do it online, right?
Yeah, you're right. No. So I was, imagine my joy. I was like, finally, my mom, you know, is going to say her shahada. So I go back to my mom and I said, you'll never guess what. I spoke to Sheikh Affan. He's coming. And so we looked at the dates. I was like, we can look at this date or that date. And at the time, my mom's going to kill me, by the way, when she hears the episode. I'm just letting it all out there. So at the time, their home was being refurbished. She goes, oh, no, but you know what? I don't have a room for him. Mm. I can't host him. I can't be a good host. Look at the house. The house is like this. And I was like, ugh. Imagine I was completely let down. I was like, you know what? These, like, now, sorry, mom, but she was making excuses, right? So that's what it sounds like. Yeah. So I went back to Sheikh Affan and I said, sorry, like, we can't. I don't even know what I said. He's okay. He said, it's okay. Like, it will happen when it happens. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. So this is when I decided to write my book, Big Little Steps.
It was at that point.
It's been actually a couple of years. I was thinking, like, Islam has given me so much. I would love to give back. And just to be the vessel of, you know, as a woman, just kind of sharing everything that I've learned for women who want to embrace Islam or who have just converted to Islam. Mm. And I already had the idea of writing a guide where, and we can talk about it later. It kind of was already in my mind. So I was like, you know what? I want my mom to be my first reader. So I really wrote it with her in mind.
MashaAllah.
So when I was writing it, I spent a couple of months in France with my parents. And one day I said, Mom, like, really, like, what is it that is making you not convert? Like, you believe and like, let's be honest now. Let's be real.
No more excuses.
What's the reason? And so she said, I don't know, we talked and I said, you know, all you have to say, I'm like, by the way, Sheikh Affan doesn't even need to come all the way here. You can do it with us. Mm. We're Muslim and you have a witness. We're three in the house. I was like, it's only a very simple sentence that you need to repeat. I'm like, that's it. It's very easy, you know. So she goes, fine. And I was like, what? What? I was shocked. Like, and so my dad and I looked at each other. He was equally as shocked as I was. And my mom said, no, but you guys are going to make fun of me if I say it in Arabic. I said no. And now by that point, I'm very serious. I'm no more joking around. Like my dad and I are serious. We're like, no, we're not going to make fun of you. We can say it slowly in Arabic and then we'll say it in French. You can just repeat after us. So she said, okay. So imagine my heart was racing. Even now I feel my heart is racing, subhanAllah. So I looked at my dad. I said, okay, who says it now? Like we both want to be that person, you know. So we said, let's split it. So
one does the Arabic and the other does the French.
Exactly. So my dad started and she repeated and then I did the French and then she repeated. So inshallah, imagine. We both get the
inshallah. And I can imagine how emotional that must have been.
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. And because look, this was at that point, maybe over 12 years that I became Muslim. For my dad, even more, maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say we had no hope, because obviously you always have hope in Allah. But I was like, this is so difficult. Like, I just don't see how, you know, I just don't see how it's going to happen. Like, and subhanAllah, it did. And my mom, the minute she finished saying her shahada, she just cried. Like, and I'm not saying like, you know, just sniffing, like full on warm, heavy tears. And she couldn't stop crying until she went to bed that night. She couldn't. She's like, I don't know why. She's like, I'm happy. I'm not sad. She's like, but I can't help it. I can't hold them back.
Yeah.
So imagine, I was just on cloud nine. We went to bed. The next morning, I said, Mom, how are you feeling this morning? Are you still crying? She's like, no, I'm not crying. But she says, I couldn't sleep last night at all. And I was like, oh, what happened? And she goes, you know what? She says, what does Allahu Akbar mean? And I said, God is the greatest. She's like, oh, the whole night, I kept hearing Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I thought, and now I have goosebumps. And I thought, takbir, you know? And I said, Mom, these were the angels greeting you and welcoming you to Islam. Because when it happened, my dad and I, we didn't do takbir. We were just... So caught up in the moment, hugging.
Yeah, and the emotions.
And subhanAllah, so that happened.
MashaAllah. I have a feeling, I think we need to take a break. Just a short break, Ahmed, and then we'll be right back.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back. Thank you for allowing us to take that short break. subhanAllah, the story today is just so emotional. And I really wish, now I know some of my guests say, Mia, your show needs to be longer. I totally agree. We have so much yet to go through, so many things that I would like Mathilde and she wants to share with you. Just a reminder that this is a live show. You're more than welcome to call us on 24602058, 24602058, to get a chance to win a signed copy of Big Little Steps and the Noble Quran. Since I'm talking about Oman FM, there's something that you wanted to share.
Yes. So it's a funny anecdote about Oman FM. Remember I said how, you know, Allah really plants the seeds in the least expected ways, right, over years. And one of those is the fact that when I moved to Oman every morning, I think it was 6:30 a.m., Oman FM would come on. Mm-hmm. Every morning. And it had just so happened that was the time that I would get in the car with my mom and go to school. And every single day for 10 years, I would read the story of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the revelation of the Holy Quran. And I remember precisely, and this is something I would even recite every day when I was in the car, not even Muslim, but it's just hearing it every day. And the ayah was this one. It went... And I'm going to just imagine a deep voice with an echo. Yeah, that's how it sounded like.
I think they still have the same recording.
Really? So it said, "Iqra, read or proclaim or recite in the name of your Lord who created mankind." And And this is Surah Al-Alaq, by the way, ayah number one, the first verse of that surah.
Which is the first verse that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Exactly, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, yeah, that's just the funny anecdote. Even before I became Muslim, I knew about the revelation of the Holy Quran.
But don't you see it, Lujain? I see this as another sign.
100%. 100%.
Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you,
subhanallah.
Read.
Yes. I never thought of it that way.
That's right. That's the first thing that crossed my mind when you said, I said, mashallah, even in the car, every day.
Every day.
Allah was telling you, read. Early in the morning.
Yes.
Read, Matilde, read.
Subhanallah. I never looked at it that way, but you're right.
That's the first thing that came up.
Yeah.
So there was a reason, you see? There's a reason why you said this today. Now, because the show is about the Quran, and it's been part of your journey for a long time, now what's your relationship with the Quran? And, you know, I'm sure you've pondered, because you, since the age you started...
18.
When you started reading the Quran...
17.
17. Yeah. So you've had a long... relationship with the Quran. How is it, and how do you, what's your relationship basically with the Quran?
Look, first I started reading the Quran in French, which obviously was a translation. Alhamdulillah, I studied Arabic at ABA in high school, so I had some, like, I could read, I could write, and that really helped me, you know, with tafsir classes. I love those. They really help you understand the true meaning you know, of each word, subhanAllah, in the Quran, and each word is not there by coincidence. There's always a much deeper level of...
Not only word, even the harakas.
Right.
You know, because if you change a haraka, you change the meaning of the word. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He chose everything meticulously.
Mm-hmm.
The word, the haraka, and of course the meaning.
SubhanAllah. So, so those classes really helped me to deepen my relationship with the Quran. And I like this question, because I feel like that a lot of people come to Islam in many different ways, right? I have friends who embraced Islam, and it was because of, they read about the story of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or now you hear these stories about people coming to Islam because of Palestinians, right? Yes. There's so many ways. For me, it was really the Quran. And so I read the Quran every day for years, you know, every night before going to sleep. Every time I read it, it feels like, and I'm sure this is universal, but it feels like it's tailored to what you're going through in that time, in that moment of time. And yeah, I think that, you know, classes have helped me get a better understanding of it. And my relationship with the Quran is, for me, that's where it all started. For me, it's a treasure that I cherish, really.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
What I love about your story, Matilde, first, that Allah, since the beginning, and He's always there in all our lives, but some people just don't see it, yeah? And some people don't seek it. So you set your intention, Allah was guiding you in the right time, in different ways, subhanAllah. But you took what Sheikh Al-Fan said when you became a Muslim, yeah? He said, now that you're a Muslim, you have to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And you did mention earlier that because when you were, you felt that responsibility, that, okay, my mom's not Muslim, you decided to write big little steps, which we're giving a sign... a free copy signed today if you call 24602058. So you had her in mind because you wanted to share the message of Islam to those who have recently reverted or embraced Islam, or those who are just inquisitive.
Yes.
Your book is so simple to read, and I love, mashallah, there's a lot of effort, and you can tell it's not written overnight.
Yes.
You've done a lot of research. You talked about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tell us a bit about Big Little Steps.
For sure. So I think, first of all, this is the book that I wish I had when
I can only imagine.
I converted to Islam, because bear in mind, at the time, this was before Facebook, YouTube resources were very limited. online, there was hardly anything. And in any case, you know, we need to be careful of how we research online about Islam. And immediately after converting to Islam, I went back to France. So even my access to, you know, having access to, you know, Sheikh Alfan or scholars was also very limited. So I was kind of trying to find literature in any way I could. And this whole time I was thinking, I had it in the back of my mind that I would like to share, you know, after I think 15 years, I wanted to share everything I learned the hard way, so to speak. Because like I said, when I embraced Islam, that's when the journey really began. Islam is a way of life,
yes,
right? So from everything, from the way, you know, from fasting, the way we pray, you know, going to the mosque, there's a certain etiquette, Eid, everything, it's in our daily lives. So imagine, as a fresh convert, you want to do everything perfect. You want to do everything the way a born Muslim is doing it from day one. And it's impossible because it takes time to learn, right? So that's where the idea of the book was born. And I remember just really praying and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me the vessel of a book that will break any misconceptions about Islam and for women in particular, and also to help them see Islam in a good light and to kind of help me highlight the beauty of Islam. And I think that was my intention. And I remember thinking, if only one person can, you know, find their answers, my job is done.
And I think you did that beautifully, in Big Little Steps. Subhanallah. It's one of the, just a little info, if you didn't know. The first, how you and I met is because you contacted me.
Yes.
And if you haven't read it yet, well, I'm also in the book.
Special guest.
No, but I love that you had that intention, because many, you know, get into Islam, alhamdulillah, embrace it, and then that's too scared to take that first step.
Right.
Too scared to even, some of them announce to family
of
members,
course,
that they are Muslim. Mm-hmm. But you found the truth, alhamdulillah, with Allah's guidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put people that gave you advice. You took that advice seriously, and you made this book, which I believe, has it been translated in
French?
So you have it in English and in French?
Yes, an Arabic translation is done, but it's not published yet.
So that's coming, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah.
And what are some of the reviews or, you know, life-changing moments that you've gotten from your readers?
So that's the beauty of Instagram, right? Because the readers reach out to me and they tell me, you know, I think a lot of the examples, I think you said that they're scared, you know, what their parents are going to think. Mm. They're praying and they're hiding when they're praying, or they're fasting and they're not telling their family and their friends. And I think what I wanted to do with this book was to make it very simple to read, so that I remember there was a lot of literature that was heavy, that had Arabic words in them, that makes it so confusing for Muslims, and a lot of them at the time were written by men. So I wanted something that is like, you know, a sister speaking to another sister. Yeah. And that's kind of the feedback that I'm receiving, is that I felt like I was just having a cup of tea with you and we were just talking. And so it's very light, although it's a very heavy and big topic.
Yeah,
right?
It's a dense subject when you talk about religion. So for you to be able, I think, with of course the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your renowned intention, and keeping that woman in the forefront of your mind,
yes,
which was your mom.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it resulted in this beautiful book.
Yeah, and I tried to talk about everything in this book so that it could be a guide. So for example, the first chapter is faith. So that talks about the pillars, the 99 names and attributes of Allah. The second chapter is about the way of life. So again, it's about the fasting benefits for the body, or natural medicine, or praying, how it's good for your body even. how to, you know, behave with animals, how to treat animals, mental health. There's a chapter for women called Womenkind, which is where we break these stereotypes and misconceptions about women's rights. Talks about modesty and inspiring Muslim women from the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's a whole chapter on prayer. This was supposed to be part of Way of Life, but there was so much
on prayer
that I'm like, it deserves its own chapter.
Because it's such an important part of our daily, I don't want to say routine, but of our daily way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do it once.
Yes.
We do it five times.
Exactly.
A day, every single day.
Exactly. And you know, I feel like something I say in the book is through prayer, for me, that's the only way I've been able to achieve the what I call the sweetness of faith.
Mm.
It's, you know, especially now we have Taraweeh, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
Later, and we pray during the night. And, you know, you leave and you feel this, you feel happy. And that's the sweetness of faith. And I feel like prayer is the tool to attain that.
SubhanAllah. It's the way you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to give an example, but it's a relationship that you need to keep going, and you do so five times a day. And somebody, I think one of my guests said, they always look at it as, okay, so now I'm doing Fajr to Dhuhr. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't know if you'll be alive after that.
Exactly.
So it's always like a renowned intention.
Yes.
Allah, you know, there's no one other but you, and your prophet is his last prophet, and we go through that every single day, five
That's
times
right.
a day.
It's crazy. And there's also dua, right?
Yes.
That's also a part. So it's really a lot to say about prayer. And then the last chapter is about the ummah. And I feel that was for me something I didn't expect finding in Islam, is this family around the world. I feel like wherever I go, the Muslim community is like an extended family. And that's the beauty of the ummah, which, you know, I haven't seen in any other, you know, in any other way. It's really unique. And I also talk about like grieving and death. This was therapeutic for me, honestly, writing about that. I talk about love. And then finally, at the end, I talk about how do you say your shahada, and if you want to, and if you're ready, then this is how, you know, how you do it.
May Allah reward you for the efforts. And inshallah, everyone who reads it, you know, only that message, that they change that perception they have of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
May Allah as well reward you for that.
Ameen.
And I believe we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Allah barakatuh. How are you?
I'm fine. Alhamdulillah. Who's this? Muhammad or Humaid?
It's Muhammad.
Oh, I didn't hear your voice this season. It was always
yes.
Humaid.
Sorry, I'm
like, no, Baba. It's okay. It's okay. Okay. Yes. What do you have to say, Muhammad?
First, Ramadan Kareem to everyone listening to the show and to you.
Thank
and
you.
I hope may Allah accept our good deeds, inshallah.
Allahumma ameen.
And I wanted to talk about how your story, mashallah, is inspiring me. And I hope it inspires like people listening to the show, because it was like really, really inspiring.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I wanted to share with you about one hadith I learned. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, العلم بدون عبادة هباء منثورة. Can you just translate that for me, please?
العلم من غير عبادة هباء منثورة. So education without worship, I don't know how to translate haba and manthura. It's like, you know, I don't know,
it's
the way.
It's just the wind, like it goes like easily.
Yeah, it's like dust, you know, it's just with wind, it just goes, nothing concrete.
Okay.
Jazakallah khair.
Yeah, thank you so
That's
much.
That's beautiful.
I just wanted to talk about this.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Muhammad. Regards to the family. Ma'a salama. We still have a couple of minutes if you want to call and share as well something like Muhammad did. You can do so by calling 24602058. So we just talked about your book, Big Little Steps, mm-hmm. and you broke it down for us. And subhanAllah, when even like comparing, not that I like to compare and that we should compare as Muslims, but I believe that everybody has a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everybody does what they can do. But sitting here, like you're a Muslim, you're not a born Muslim. I've been a Muslim longer than you.
Yeah.
Longer than you. And then I sit and reflect, okay, so May, what have you done?
Mm.
Like here we have Mathilde Lujain at the age of 18, embraced Islam. Now she's an author of a book, you know? So.
But you have the show.
Alhamdulillah. Again, not to say that the message I'm trying to send is that you do what you can with what Allah has given you.
True.
Yeah. Yes, you might not have a show. You've written a book. Mm-hmm. You might not have the capability or capacity to write a book, but you have friends. You have family. You have so many things that you can do. Don't feel you are limited. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can only spread the message of Islam by writing a book. Oh, I can only spread the... No, you can spread the message of Islam by being a good Muslim, number one.
Yes.
Because you don't know the impact you have on others. Especially, not only when you're in Oman, even when you travel, especially now.
Yes.
Who would have thought what was happening in Palestine, people would be impacted by their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did.
Yes.
But some of them have no idea that their grief and but the way they're steadfast in their deen has allowed someone somewhere...
Mm-hmm.
To go and buy a copy of the Quran,
right,
and embrace Islam.
SubhanAllah.
So one shouldn't just limit and say, no, I can't do this.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the final message that you have as we end the show?
How long do we have?
We have 2 minutes.
Okay. I think there's one more thing I would like to share, which is not an ayah per se, but it's, I think when I first started reading the Quran, it was reading the words Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which means in English, in the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. But when you look at the Arabic root of ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim, it's the same, Rahim, right? Which is mercy. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Why would he say it twice? Because obviously there is no coincidence, right?
Yes.
And Ar-Rahman is already the absolutely merciful, right? The most definitely merciful to all that he created, mankind, the animals, nature. One more than that, you know, that's already the most merciful you can be. And on top of that, he's Ar-Rahim as well. And I think that goes to show the vastness of his mercy. And I think during these last 10 days of Ramadan, especially, well, now we only have two days left, but I think that's just something to keep in mind as we all make dua. And I believe, you know, obviously there was no coincidence, and it's just something that we need to reflect and ponder over. It's something we say in every prayer every day. So we say it almost 20 times a day. And obviously Allah has 99 names and attributes. And just in that one sentence, we already know three names and attributes that we can call him by when we make dua. So I think that's what I'd like to end the show with, just as a reminder and something to think about.
Jazakallah khair. I want to thank you again, Mathilde, for
coming.
Thank
you.
And I know as well your family is listening somewhere in the car. So thank you so much to your amazing family who is supporting you and joined you in Oman for this. For those who want to get a copy of Big Little Steps, it's available at Baraka Islamic Bookshop, which is an online Instagram account, and also Qurra al-Ma'rifa, which I believe is an actual bookshop.
Bookstore, yes.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, but this is the the name of it. Thank you for listening and being part of the show. Thank you once again, Mathilde.
Thank you.
May Allah continue to guide you and to keep you steadfast in this deen, and maybe write another book.
Maybe.
Who knows?
I mean, and you, and to all your listeners as well.
Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair.
Please join me tomorrow for the last episode, inshallah, of the season. I have Sister Uzma with me at 2:30 on Oman FM. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Glory to God, Most High, full of grace and mercy. He created all, including man. To man he gave a special place in his creation. He honored man to be his agent, and to that end, endued him with understanding, purified his affections, and gave him spiritual insight, so that man should understand nature, understand himself.